Okay, let's begin our discussion of Mitzvah Reish Samach Gimel, Mitzvah 263, a new world for us here in the Mitzvah Shir land, Parshas Emor, first of 63 mitzvos. In Parshas Emor, as the Chenev starts off, there are 24 mitzvos asay and 39 mitzvos los asay. Most of the mitzvos in this parsha have to do with two topics. Number one, Kohanim, which splits into Kohen and Kohen Gadol, who they're allowed to marry, and what they're allowed to do, and what they're not allowed to do, and a lot having to do with karbanos in terms of Baalei Mumin. We'll have five or six mitzvahs related to animals with blemishes and karbanos. And then, of course, the second half of the parsha talks all about the Moadim. Moadim, many, many mitzvahs related to the Moadim. Perach Chav Gimel, I think, in Parshas Emor. So that's the crux of the mitzvos. Most of them, most of the 63, are related to Kohen mitzvos or Moed mitzvos. So for those of us who are not Kohanim, it's even more important to study these mitzvos because this is the only way we're going to ever be able to fulfill them. Those who are Kohanim, obviously, it's very lamaisa that one has to know these mitzvos. And the Moedim obviously apply to all. So let us begin with the first two mitzvos. Today, the first one, the first two mitzvos in Emor are a pair. An Isser Daraisa and a Mitzvah Aseh. The Isser Daraisa of becoming Tameh for a fellow Jew. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Limar. Emor la Kohanim b'nei Aaron. Tell the Kohanim b'nei Aaron. V'yamarta aleihem l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. First pasuk, to a soul, to a nefesh, you're not allowed to become tamei ba'amav in his nation. Again, every word here is chock full. Many of the Bali Musar note the double lashon. First of all, vayomer and emor. Chazal already pick up on that. El ha-kohanim b'nei Aharon. What's the double lashon there? We know the kohanim are b'nei Aharon. So just say el ha-kohanim. Just say b'nei Aharon. Don't say kohanim. What do you need both for? So some of the Bali Machshav explained that there are two kedushos to every kohen. There's his inherent automatic kedusha, and then there's the name that he made for himself being a kohen. Ha-kohanim b'nei Aharon. There are two elements. You can't just rely on the fact that we're b'nei Aharon. We have to be a kohen. We have to be our own priest. We have to be our own kohen. Okay, b'nei Aharon, v'amarta, but today's isser is l'nefesh l'itam abamav. That's right. Next week we'll pick up with the assay of the exceptions to that rule. And there are a number of krovim, six to be exact, six besides the person, meaning seven krovim altogether, that one has a mitzvah to be mitami for. Father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, spouse. So any of those, that's the next mitzvah, which we'll get to, by the Shem, is the mitzvah daraisa for Kohanim to be mitami themselves for those krovim, as we will talk about. But today's mitzvah is the isser of making oneself tame for all the other Jews in the world. So, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Shleitami Kohen Hedyo B'meis Zulasi B'krovim Amavoram B'kasuv. As the Chinuch describes it in the title, that a Kohen Hedyot, he mentions a Kohen Hedyot because a Kohen Gadol, as we'll see later, has an even higher standard. He even cannot become Tami for his Zion Krovim. Shleitami Kohen Hedyot B'meis, a Kohen Hedyot cannot become Tami Zulasi B'krovim Amavoram B'kasuv, except for the Krovim that are mentioned later on. Shneemar l'nefesh l'itama ba'amav klomar. Kol echad min ha-kohanim l'itama l'nefesh meis. A kohen is not allowed to become tummy. A kohen is not allowed to walk into a cemetery. A kohen is not allowed, even though it's an amazing mitzvah, to do a tahara of a person, right, to be involved. A kohen is, the only time a kohen is ever allowed to be mitami himself is in the case of a meis mitzvah. If he finds a dead body on the street and nobody's burying him, then there's a chiyuv for the kohen to be mitami himself. That is a Kohen besides the seven Krovim. Even a Kohen Gadol can be Matami himself for a Meitz Mitzvah. But a Kohen, other than for the relatives, it is Aser. V'yafal pisha nefesh tova lo tamus. And even though you get a misimpression really in the pasuk because it says, l'nefesh lo yitama b'amav. For a nefesh, don't defile yourself. And a nefesh really should say, l'guf lo yitama b'amav. The nefesh never dies. The nefesh is a soul that goes to be with God. What do you mean, l'nefesh lo yitama b'amav? Still, yechana akasav ha'guf b'shema nefesh. It just calls it that, but really we know what it means. Misharshia mitzvah. Okay, what is the sharsh behind the mitzvah? Again, there's a lot of halachas. First, the chinuch says, let's talk for a moment about the hashkafa. Why is it? Why do the kohanim have a higher standard? Yes, they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the avoda. Yes, they have the other various mitzvahs, who they're not allowed to marry. Why is it that they can't become tameh? Lefisha kohanim nivcharu la'avodas Hashem Baruch Hu. Kohanim are chosen to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Kamo shamar ha'kasav kadoshim yiyu lo kehem. That's why Hashem distances them from mace. Misa, why? Kfar kasavti lamala. I already wrote earlier in Yuntuma Dvar Nimas Venelach. Tuma is symbolizes something putrid, something disgusting in the eyes of God, the eyes of Hashem. Vigufa Adam Ameis, Pirshu Chachamim Shehu Avi Avosa Tuma. The highest level of Tuma, as we know, is a corpse, is a dead body. The different levels, that's the granddaddy, the Avi Avos. Anybody that touches a corpse is called an Avatuma. It's a Tamei Meis. And then one down, Rishon, Cheni, Shlishi, Revi. All of those levels. But the highest level of Tumah is a corpse. Klomar, Sheish lo Tumah chazaka ad ma'ob malami kol Tumah. Even more than others. Why? Why is it the most tame item? V'ho inyanu, ki bihi parik me'olav tzuras ha-seichel ha-chaya ha-tova. V'yishar hu levado. This corpse had an unbelievable gift in it. Had an neshama, had an intellect. And in that way, it had such an amazing 120-year run because it had such an amazing neshama inside. When that vacuum is left, it creates the highest level of tumah. The greatest void. If an animal dies, okay, what did an animal have anyway? What's the difference between a dead dog and a live dog? Okay, there's a little difference. We believe in Tzar Bal HaChayim, but there's such a major, there's tumas nevela. That's true, there is a tumah. But when it comes to, I'm not getting into the details now, but dead animal, it might be differences between kosher and non-kosher animals. I just give the dog as an example. But when it comes to a person, look what a person is, a live person and a dead person. Unbelievable difference. That's why that vacuum, that void creates tumah. B'shagamu basar pachos v'garu mishtokek al ra'os. And we're just left with the physical. Guf. And sometimes maybe we could even say that we didn't make every moment of our life, we weren't such a great host for our neshama. You know, sometimes the guest was a little uncomfortable with what the goof was doing. So therefore, when the goof is left, the part of the being that's connected to chait is left, so then that breeds the largest, the deepest tumah. And therefore, that's what tumah symbolizes. So it's only appropriate, says the chinuch, so it's only appropriate for those who serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash to be misrachik, to distance themselves. Except for their primary brothers. Put this on the list. The ways of Torah are sweet. We've had that about 10 times in these shiurim. Where do we apply the principle of Durachecha Darchei Noam? That's why, if you remember, the Meshech Chachma said that women don't have the obligation of Puravu, because it's a painful mitzvah. You can't command them. You can give them a motherly instinct to want to have children, but you can't command them. That's why Rabbeinu Bachai said, if you remember, that a snake is not Tameh, not one of the Shemona Shratzim. Why not? Because you're going to want to kill the snake. And if you're going to have to think twice, snakes are dangerous. You got to think twice. Well, I want to become Tameh. We don't want you to think twice. Because Rekha wants you to kill, save your life. So a snake is not one of the Shratzim. Many, many other examples that we've had, not for now. But this is another one. The Torah says, yes, I have a high standard for Kohanim. But for his parents, for his children, for his siblings, that's no problem. Go into the cemetery. Go into the funeral home. It will be too painful for them. So you might say, what about a grandparent? What about a grandchild? You know, the Torah has to give some rules, some finite rules, even though obviously it doesn't fulfill all of the cases. There might be another idea behind what the Chinuch is saying, and that is related to what we discussed a few months ago by Tumah as well. Rav Hirsch writes that Tumah is the symbol of death. Tumah is always associated with death. We discussed this by Tumas Yoledes, right? The greatest person, item that's Tameh, is a dead body. Tumas Nida. What's Tumas Nida? It's a potential pregnancy that didn't happen. It's potential life that didn't happen. Every time there's Tumas Nevela. Right, almost all tumas that we have, tumas yoledes. Rav Hirsch says, even amazingly, why is a woman who has a baby tumah? Because she had more life inside of her, and now it came out. But that vacuum of life inside of her, she no longer has a baby inside of her. So that vacuum creates tumah. And that's why when she has a girl, it's double, because now there's a vacuum of a girl who could create more life. So said Rav Hirsch, tumah is always connected with death. So maybe one could suggest that kohanim are always associated with life. Because kohanim bring kapara to Klal Yisrael. Kohanim bring karbonis that bring shalom and chayim. and Arichas Yamim to Klal Yisrael. Right? Without the carbon, a person could be chayva a greater punishment. So the carbon helps with Arichas Yamim, like Rashi says at the end of Yisro. That's why you're not allowed to use a sword to create the stones for the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach is Marich Yam of Shal Adam, while a sword is Makatzer. So maybe that's another reason why Kohanim specifically have to stay away from Tumah, because Kohanim are all about life. Kohanim are giving others life, and therefore they have to stay away. Okay. Let me explain also, there is a concept in Chazal, perfect tzaddikim do not create tumah. Why? Because they're totally pure. Their body. Their body wasn't tumah. It was like all the neshama. The body was just a help for the neshama. And when they died, they just went up with a neshika, with a kiss from God. There is a concept like that in Chazal, that tzaddikim einam meisim. Do we ever hold like something like that? You might find in some minority tshuvas svarim that say you could go to the Rebbe's kever, even if you're a Kohen, because tzaddikim einam meisim. Right, he lives forever. Yaakov Avinu lo meis, the Gemara says in Tainus. So you will find that in some minority poskim. But the majority rules, and we assume that is 100% not allowed, and it's an Issa Daraisa. Why? How about Yosef? Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. And what's the source for Pesach Sheni? One of the opinions of the Gemara, what were they tamei from? Because they were carrying Atzmos Yosef. Yosef was Tameh. Are you going to tell me any of the great Rebbes throughout history was greater than Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef was Tameh. Okay, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. That's why the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says at Vayechi that Yosef jumped onto Yaakov Avinu after he says Vayipol Apana, Vayef. But Yosef HaTzadik and many others that were Tameh. So we assume that this is not allowed. The Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Nun Ches says that they were Mitzayin, the Kvaris of the Avos. Why were they Mitzayin? So Kohanim don't go close. The Kfarim of the Avos? Kfarim of the Avos? Why were they Mitzayin? Kohanim, they could go there. So the answer is they can't. Rav Avadia has a tshuva in Yechaveh Das, Chelek Dalet, Simin Nun Ches. Is a Kohen allowed to go into Maras HaMachpelah? Or Kever Rachel? Or other Kfaris Tzadikim? So there are two issues. Number one, is this really the place? Is this really the place? So you might say, it's not really, we have the wrong spot. Okay, so that's one scholarship issue. But let's assume that it is the right place. Or Klal Yisrael at least assumes it's the right place. And we've done, and the Mekomos have Kedusha just by the fact that there's been so many tefillahs said at those places. So is one allowed? Is one allowed to go? So, Rav Avadia, Kedarka Bakodesh, quotes all of the related sources. He quotes the Gemara about Pesach Sheni, and he quotes Rabbi Bina'a in Baal Basra and Nechesha, Mitzayin Kivri Ha'avos, because they're Mitzayin Ba'oel, and he quotes all of the Shitas, and at the end he says, as we said, it is Aser. He quotes in the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer, Shekol HaTzadikim, Sheniftru Aydei Malach HaMavis Betamin, Aydei Tipin Shemalach HaMavis. Okay, it's nothing bad about the Tzadikim. Maybe it's the Malach HaMavis Tuma, that when he came by, he shed some of his blood, and therefore, that's why it's Tameh. And he quotes many Sfarim, he quotes the story that when the Sfasemes died, Hayashem HaGon, Rav Avram Yisachachav, the Avnei Nezer was there, and they asked him, can we go? It's the Sfasemes, he didn't have a Tameh bone in his body. And he says, no, he says, let me tell you, when his father-in-law, the Avnei Nezer's father-in-law, the Kutzker, when the Kutzker died, the Kohanim also wanted to go. And the Chedush Yerim was there, the Sfasemes' grandfather. And the Chedush Yerim said, Chas v'shalom, Kohanim have to stay out. What are you talking about? Lefichach, says the Rav Avadia, mitzvah lehochiach lekohanim, acharedim ledvar Hashem, ba'amira ne'ima lebal yachnisu atzman besafik iser tumah daraisa, ulechalel kedushas kunasam, and that is the psak. And even though, maybe we'll get this again later if we have time, Kohanim or Tameh anyway, Bizman Azeh. Because maybe there were cemeteries all over the place that we don't know about, but there's still an Issa to be Mosef Tumal Tumaso. Meaning if a Kohen goes into a cemetery and he comes out, he's like, oh, I'm already Tameh Meh, so I'll go into as many cemeteries as I want. Or if a Kohen loses his relative, Rahman al-Islam, and he goes into a cemetery because he's allowed to, okay, now I'm Tameh, I can do whatever I want. No, there's an Issa to be Mosef Tumal Tumaso. Even though you're already Tameh Meh, still after that, Kohanim still are not allowed to go in. Okay, but that's related to the sugya of tzaddikim einam Eina Metamim. Just one other source related to this, and that is, we should have started with this one, that's the Tosfos in Ksubas. Tosfos in Ksubas quotes, this is where the Heterim come from. Ksubas Kuf Gimel on the Beis. Reb Chaim Cohen, one of the Balei Tosfos, said, if I was alive when Rabbeinu Tam died, I would have gone to him. I would have been Metamim myself. Because Rabbeinu Tam, Tzadikim Eina Mesim. So that's this Reb Chaim Cohen in Tosfos in Ksubas Kuf Gimel. But we don't paskin like that. We don't paskin like that, and therefore we assume that it is usser. Let us continue a little bit. Even before that, there are some cases. Again, there's a lot of halacha. There's a lot of agada. I don't know what is to start with. There are a number of cases where it seems like a kohen was matami himself, and that's what's problematic. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that Elyo Navi was a kohen, or is a kohen. The Gemara tells us. So, Kuf Yudalim Mabez and Bab Messiah, Tosus asks, if Elio Navi was a Kohen, how did he do Tchias HaMesim to that boy who was dead? And he put mouth to mouth, and how is he Matami himself? Says Tosus, unbelievable. Kuf Yudalim Mabez and Bab Messiah. Because he knew he was going to do Tchias HaMesim, so it was Bikuach Nefesh, and that's why he was allowed to do it. Bikuach Nefesh isn't only before the guy's going to die, it's after the guy died. If you can bring him back to life, if you can do Tchias HaMesim, that's also Hetzer Bikuach Nefesh, and therefore he was allowed to be Matami himself. Unbelievable sheet of Tosfos. There are other answers given by the Rishonim. The Radvaz has a tshuva. Maybe he didn't die. He was only mostly dead. He was a little bit alive. He fainted, and he was, you know, it was still an ace because they normally, naturally wouldn't have been able to bring him back, and he brought him back. There are other answers given to Tosfos' question, but that is one example. Eliyahu. Number two, the Gemara says, actually before the Gemara, we say in one of the kinos and one of the slichas by the Asara Haruge Malchus, one of the Asara Haruge Malchus, Rachman al-Islan, was Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. And it says that after Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was decapitated, he picked up his head and he cried. He says, this is what happens to somebody, I know seen him, Rei Shefer. We read about this on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. Ask the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Yaradeya. Simon Reish Pei Beis, how did he do that? He was in pain, he was emotional, but he was the Kohen Gadol. How did he pick up the head of his friend? So he said it must be that he was in the Ohel HaMeis already. So if you're in an Ohel HaMeis, it's nothing more with picking up more mace. If you're already out, then fine. But if you're already in the Ohel HaMeis, it's no problem. And therefore, Rav Tzvi Pesach paskind, Halacha L'maisa, there was an Ashes Kohen that was Niftares, and the husband wanted to go into the room, the house, where they were doing the Tahara, putting her in a mikvah, and there happened to be another mace also in the room that they were going to do the Tahara on. Was he allowed to go in? And he paskind its mutter. Because that's not called going into the cemetery once, going out and then coming back in. If it's the same area, you're still tummy from the first. That's no problem. You can stay in there as long as he goes out first. He shouldn't be left just with the other mace. But as long as he goes out and he brings a quote, that's the pshat of that story in Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Number two, the third is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamites, where it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen. So the Gemara says, there was an Apikoros that asked one of the Amoraim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen, how does he go to the mikvah? What water could all, whatever. Nonsensical questions. But the Gemara deals with it on a halachic level. Tosfos there in Sanhedrin Daf Lamites asks, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Kohen, then how was he Matami himself? Hech Nitma, right? What was he Matami himself? By Makas Bechoros. So Tosfos answers, Di Yisrael Nikru Banim Lamakom. Right, I'm sorry. This is not by Makas Bechoros. Right, it's by Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, how's he Matami himself? The answer is because that's a sibling. That's a sibling to Tosfos. It's Banim LaMakom. Right, and so therefore to Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Matami himself. We've spoken about that Tosfos in past in other contexts, but we will continue. There's a lot more here. Again, we have to just squeeze what we can. Midini HaMitzvah. Let's continue talking about some of the halachas of the mitzvah. Masha Amru Zecharonu Levracha Shameis Matami B'Magav B'Maso Ba'Ohel. As we know, there are three ways that a person can contract tumas mace, either by touching the dead body or by carrying the dead body, even if I don't touch it. And that includes moving it. If I cause it to move, even if I'm not touching it, that's included in masa, that's called heset. And three, ohel. Ohel, if I am under the same roof as the dead body, or if I create a roof, if I walk over a grave, right? Or if the mace is over me. Either way, those are all tumas ohel, and therefore a Kohen must be Nizhar in those. Those are the three. Big discussion in the poskim, and that is, what about a Kohen going in an airplane that flies over a Jewish cemetery? Is that an issue? Because Tumah Meis goes all the way up to the Shemayim. So is that allowed? He's in a separate Rishus. He's in the airplane. That's called an Ohel Zaruk, a moving Ohel. So is that Mafsik? Is that Mopsik? There was a big discussion. It used to be that the Elul flights going out of Ben Gurion, they have to take certain paths not to go over Jewish cemeteries. If you want to be Yotzei, those Mikhaim, those Shitos, right? Is one if you're worried about that. What about forget the cemetery? What about all Elul planes? 90%, I once heard a statistic, 90% of Elul planes from New York have a Mesa on the plane. Unbelievably high number of Aronos. So, what's the halacha? So, can you assume that if you don't know, it's okay? But the poskim worked it out, that it's in a certain type of room and with a certain amount of airspace, so it's chotzeis b'fnei ha'tumah. These are all issues in terms of being under the same roof as a mace. So a fascinating machlokes ha'poskim. The Nishmat Avraham discusses this. It's a tragic case, but he discusses this in Simen Shin Samach Tes. I'll read it from the English. That's what I brought. May a surgeon attempt to rejoin a Kohen's finger that has been traumatically amputated, although the Kohen will become ritually defiled by the finger until it's rejoined to his body. We know that mace isn't only a whole body. Even part of a body is metami mace. So what happens, Rachman al-Assan, if a Kohen cuts off his finger in an accident? Could it be stitched back on? Because before it's stitched on, right when it's touched, it's tummy mace. If his life's in danger, of course. But I'll say his life's not in danger. He'll have 9 fingers. Rachman al-Islan. The Tzitz Eliezer is Machmir. Shlomo Zalman is Mako. Shlomo Zalman is Mako. You look there, why? Why can you do that? He could even do it on Shabbos. Right? But that's an important discussion that the poskim have. And he goes to Chinuch, goes through all of the details of Tumas Meis. As we know, Tumas Meis goes for 7 days. Somebody's been talking about Meis Mishum 7 days. There's no carbon brought afterwards. Most other Tumas of 7 days, there's many carbonis brought. But Tumas Meis does not have a carbon. You just need the Paraduma ashes sprinkled on me on day 3 and day 7. Bizman Azeh were all Tamei Meis, but as I said before, the halachas of Tumah for a Kohen still apply. If you look all the way at the end, again, we don't have time for everything, but all the way at the end, turning a couple of pages, the Chinuch says, V'noheged mitzvah zubakonim azacharim. This mitzvah applies only to males. B'chol makom v'chol zman avalobin akebis. Ashes Kohen does not have this isser. Abbas Kohen does not have this isser. An Ashes Kohen is allowed to go into a cemetery. A Bas Kohen could go into a cemetery. Right? This is what the Mishnah says. We discussed this a couple of days ago. The only losases, right? Women are included in all losases, even the time-bound ones. The only ones they're not included in is, if you remember, Baltakif, Baltashchis, and Baltatamil Mason. This is one of them. Right? Women do not have this isser. Shkein Ba'apirish, Emar Lakon, and B'nei Aharon. Lenefesh lo yitama, B'nei Aharon dafka, v'lo bonos Aharon. Only the men and not the women. If a Kohen violates this and is metami himself, he gets Malkus. He gets Malkus. A huge discussion, and it's an amazing discussion. I'll just mention it, and that is, what if this is known as the Rokeach Svek Sveka? The Rokeach is quoted in the Shachin Hilchos Avelos. Could a pregnant Ashes Kohen go into a cemetery? What's the issue? Maybe she's pregnant with a boy. And she's pregnant with a boy, so then you're bringing the boy into the cemetery. So the Rokeach matters based on a Svek Sveka. This is, and I was talking in halachic terms. There is a minhag of many that pregnant women don't go to cemeteries. Bechlal. Nothing to do with Kohen and not Kohen. Pregnant women don't go to cemeteries, and that's a minhag. Meaning, if there's a real tzarech, if I've gotten the shayla many times in the past, if it's a woman's grandfather that's niftar, and she wants to go to, it's more of a mitzvah of kibud av and kibud saba to go, that overrides the minhag. But in some circles, this minhag is minhag. Okay, so it's a minhag for whatever reason. But now we're talking about halachic terms. Could an Ashes Kohen go to a cemetery? So the Rokeach says, sex fake, it's mutter. Maybe it's a girl, and even if it's not a girl, maybe it's a nafel. Maybe it's not going to live for 30 days. So it's not considered a viable vlad. That's the Svek Sveka. I, the poskim, say, what happens if you know it's a boy? If you know it's a boy through technology, modern technology. So that is a huge, huge discussion. Some poskim, Achron, the Magad Avram says, I don't even know what the Shiloh is. The kid's not chayven mitzvahs until he gets out of the womb. Right? He's not chayven mitzvahs. Let her do whatever she wants. Other poskim say this is called Tumah Bilua. It's swallowed up Tumah. That protects from Tumah. Right? There are other issues. Some are more machmir. Rav Schechter has a piece in Ikvei Hatzon where he talks about a thought that the Achronim have, Rabbi Chanan and others, that even separate from the Isser of becoming Tamei for Kohanim, there's an Isser of Kreva Lemisa. That Kohanim might not be allowed to be close to me. So what does that mean? If somebody's a ghostase, they're about to die, a Kohen can't be in the room. Why? Maybe because the person might die, but also it might just be per se, because a Kohen can't be near death, even if it won't make him Tameh. And this might have to do with the airplane Shaila also, he says, and this might have to do with the Shaila as well. Even if he's not Mechuyiv yet, but still, it's in a situation of Kreva Lamisa, and therefore it could be an issue. But either way, this is a huge discussion with a lot of lumdus in terms of the Ashes Cohen, if it ever comes up, you know, a Shiloh should be asked. Okay, we'll have to stop here. But we'll continue next time with the mitzvah saseh of a Cohen making himself Tameh for his primary relatives. Okay, we'll stop here.